Thank you, Solomon, for reading the scripture for me. As you may aware from the bulletin, today is the earthquake and fire drill today. And the alarm should sound at 11:15. And according to the schedule assigned to me, I need to finish everything by 11:08. So you may have a short sermon today, which is nice. Recently, I heard about a report regarding the expected life or life expectancy between the most rich and the most poor in Canada. The average difference of life expectancy has been narrowed between those two groups. It used to be a difference of 6 years for male and 3 years for the female. Now, it is 5 years and 2 years between the very rich in Canada and the very poor in Canada. Now, of course, that's average. Now, 5 years and 2 years might not be that long, and to have two or five more years to live, I'm sure should be precious for us and those around us under normal circumstances, even though it really depends on the quality of time in those periods. The quality of time for the person who we are going to focus on today was not too good. Because for 38 years, he was under the influence of a sickness that crippled him. Now, 38 years is a long period of a person's life. It is nearly half of the age of an average person living in this country. 38 years ago, it was 1979. What happened in 1979? In 1979, for the first time in history, a woman called Margaret Thatcher was elected Prime Minister in the UK. Now, of course, now is Theresa May. And as technology becomes smaller, Sony released its first Walkman, and that was a smashing worldwide success, and at that time cost $200 US. And that was a significant amount of money. But at this point, nobody knows what Walkman is. You know what a Walkman is? You know, okay, that's good. Okay. You betray your own age, okay? And following the return of Ayatollah Khomeini, Iran became an Islamic Republic, and 63 Americans were taken hostage in the American embassy in Tehran in that year. Well, I'm sure that those things may not mean anything to you in 1979, 38 years ago. It didn't mean anything to me, but 38 years ago, I got married, so, you know, it means something to me. 38 years. And not too many people care about that, you know, 38 years ago, because there were so many things happened in between those 38 years too. 38 years seems a long time to remember, but what really does time mean to you? What really does time mean to you? Another way to answer the question is, I guess it matters what you are doing. We know that every day has 24 hours, and that every hour has 60 minutes, and every minute has 60 seconds. But I'm also convinced that time doesn't always mean the same, and time always passed at the same rate. Now, why is Christmas Eve 2 weeks long to most kids? Because when they raise up in when they woke up in the morning, they could unwrap the gifts. Why does 50 minutes fly when you hit the snooze button, but drag on and on while you are waiting in line at the cash register? Why is that? Is it the same reason 9 to 5 takes all day long during the week but disappears in an instant over the weekend? We all have different mentality towards time. But the man that we have just heard, Solomon just read, at the pool of Bethesda, time seems to be a period of hopelessness and really nothing much to look forward to at all. Why? Because nobody can put him into the pool when the angels stir the water, which supposedly could heal him. And many went before he could get himself down. You know, I tried to make an effort when I was I'm still a pastor here, you know, but part-time, you know, but when I was a full-time pastor here, I tried to make a point every week to visit some shut-ins or those who are hospitalized. One of my purpose there was to cheer them up and bring some word of peace from God to them. And it is really not easy to stay in the hospital, even in senior's home, especially with no hope of getting out. You do not see too many cheerful souls in those places, and it is understandable. So time for this guy, who was sick for 38 years, means hopelessness, nothing to look forward to. How about to the Jews? To the Jews, time for them, for those Jews, at that instant, time was a stagnant and legalistic attachment. You know, they could not share the joy of the healing of this man who was sick for 38 years. The first questions, the first response they had, hey, it was a Sabbath day. And nobody was supposed to carry a mat. And this guy, you know, after 30 years of sickness, was carrying a mat on Sabbath, and it was wrong. To them, a strict adherence to the law is more important to the joy of recovery. Now, we might be sympathy to the Jews too, because after all, there were 6 days that carrying the mat was allowed. Why Jesus had to heal the man on that day and ask him to carry the mat? Is it possible that Jesus was deliberately comparing the importance of a holistic life over the legality of rules? We are expected to do certain things, stick to certain rules, and do not have too many exceptions, otherwise there would be too many precedents and people would find it hard to follow. But Jesus broke that. Jesus broke that. And how about time to Jesus? Time for Jesus is an opportunity to continuously working for the Lord. My Lord, God does things from eternity to eternity, and I'm just following him. You know, I am not a fan of rock music, but I have to say that, you know, I admire this group, you know, Rolling Stone. Rolling Stone started in 1962, and up to now, after 55 years, those guys still jump up and down on the stage. And I tell you, all four of them, Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, Charlie Watts, and Ronnie Wood, all are at least 70 years old, okay? And they still jump up and down, okay? And then I admire them, okay? And, I don't think that they do it for money, okay? I think that they have a passion, you know, to that music. Okay, even though I'm not a fan at all. Okay? And, you know, Jesus have that passion of fulfilling the will of God. And even though it was Sabbath, it was time for him to heal, he healed. So time means different thing to different people. What does it mean to you today? Now, after looking at the difference of time by these three main characters of this passage, let us focus on the healing of this sick person. Let's see how Jesus motivated this man to become a candidate for healing. Because the same prerequisites are necessary for us today if we want to lead a holistic life before God, a clear understanding of our life purpose. We have to have a desire first to be healed. Do you want to get well or do you want to be healed? Do you feel that there is something lacking in your life and you want to get healed? You want to get well? And let's look at how Jesus did it. Jesus first encouraged the man to identify what he wants. In verse 6, he says, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in that condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Now, that sounds like a very absurd question. Of course, this man wants to get well. You wouldn't ask a starving man, do you want food? Would you? You know? But on the other hand, it was a very valid question. For there are people who, given an opportunity of healing, might actually choose to remain sick. Right now, those people, they are free of some unpleasant responsibilities. And they can get sympathy by complaining about their sickness. They can, allow me to use the term, they can even manipulate people by being sick or punish themselves if they feel guilty. You know, I read that somewhere that a young man in the 1960s who didn't want to be drafted in the States. So he had all his teeth pulled out to make himself unfit for military duty. But when he took his physical, he was declared unfit because of his flat feet, not because of his lack of teeth. No, three guys were fishing one day in a lake, and Jesus walked by across the water and joined them in the boat. You know, of course, this was a fake story, okay? When the three astonished men had settled down enough to speak, you know, the first guy asked humbly, Jesus, I've suffered from back pain since I, you know, fought in the Vietnam War. Would you help me? Of course, my son, Jesus said. And then he touched the man. And then he was healed of his back pain. The second guy was wearing very thick glasses. And then had a hard time reading and driving. Asked if Jesus could do anything about his poor eyesight. Jesus smiled, removed the guy's glasses, threw it in the water, and then he was immediately healed. And when Jesus turned to the third man, the guy put his hand out defensively. Don't touch me. Don't touch me, sir. I am on disability pension. So when Jesus asked, do you want to get well? He seems to be saying, you have friends who bring you here. You have developed friendships with others who come here regularly. If I heal you, your life will do a complete reversal. You will be expected to get a job and relate to people on a different basis. Are you ready for that change? Do you really want to get well? Do you really want to get well? You know, a psychiatrist by the name of Murift has written a book called Happiness is a Choice. He said, a psychiatrist, I cringe whenever Christian patients use the word I can't and I have tried. Any good psychiatrist knows that I can't and I have tried are merely lame excuse. We insist my patients stop saying can't, but saying won't. Won't. They need to see what they are really doing. So we make them face up by saying, I just won't get along with my wife. My husband and I won't communicate. I won't discipline the way the kids the way I should. I won't find time to pray. I won't stop gossiping. It's not I can't. It's just I won't. Do you really want to be healed? Do you really want to get well? You have to ask one question. Why this man, who is now able to walk, is so apathetic towards what has happened to him? After all, Jesus performed a miracle of healing. But you didn't seem to see any leaping of joy, you know, for this guy, or praising God. This man just seems calmly walk away and did not even ask Jesus who he was, how he could heal him. He did not even try to find Jesus in the crowd. Why there was no thanks? Maybe because this man never considered there was any more to life. After 30 years, he had accepted his condition. He was content now to get by or get on with his begging. Being paralyzed was a help because people felt sorry for him, and sometimes he felt sorry for himself. And he might be content with that. Do you really want to get healed? Do you really want to get well? Or you feel content? You feel content with what you have. You feel content with who you are. You feel content with the situation that you are now in. Do you really want to get healed? Do you really want to get well? Do you really want to get better? That's the questions Jesus is asking you today. You know, Jesus also understands the blaming game of this guy. You know, when Jesus asked, "Do you want to get well?" the man replied, "Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." He was basically complaining. Every time the water bubbles up, no one is here to help me into the pool. It's always the stronger ones who reach the water first. It's a shame those of us who need it the most get the least amount of help. It's been the way for a number of years, and even for 18 years, 28 years, and 38 years. It is so easy to blame other people for our problems. And that has been a scapegoat, blaming from the beginning. When God asked Adam why he disobeyed, Adam explained, "You know, the woman you gave me persuaded me to eat." When Moses asked his brother Aaron why he permitted Israelites to worship a golden calf, Aaron said, "The people pressured me to do something since you were gone so long. Moses, you were gone so long. They want gods like the Canaanites. I just threw the jewelry into the fire and out came the calf." Blame the people. Blame Moses for taking so long. Blame the Canaanites. Blame the fire even. But don't blame me. Don't blame myself. When Pontius Pilate was forced to make a decision about Jesus, he said, "I wash my hand of this matter. Jesus is yours. Do whatever you want to do with him." You know, there was this British king one time visited a prison. Every prisoner brought before him claimed to be innocent and pleaded for a pardon, except for one man who admits the guilt. You know what did the king do? The king said to the warden, "Get this guilty man out of the prison before he corrupts all this innocent man." We have such a difficult time saying, "I am responsible." We blame heredity, we blame environment, we blame circumstances, everything except ourselves. Yet what the Lord wants us to do is to accept responsibilities for our own behavior. It is so easy to play victimhood in our lives. You can be a victim once, but you don't have to be a victim for the rest of your life. Victimization is something that happens to you, but victimhood is your own choice. Victim is a result of what happened to you. Victimhood is a result of choice of where you live. It is not the neighborhood that you choose that molds you. It is how you respond to that neighborhood that that decides your life. So don't play victimhood. Take responsibilities. Do you want to get well? Do you want to still love what you are not supposed to love? Do you want to lose your bitterness? Do you want to be forgiven? Do you want that relationship to be mended? Do you want that addiction to be stopped? Do you want to grow up? Do you want a new life? You know, the answer seems obvious. The question seems unnecessary. But they are not. Choosing desire to be healed is not an easy road to follow, even though the rewards can be great. So the first two questions, do you want to be healed? The second, do you know what you want? Or stopped being a victim? The third premise, the third notion is, after you know what you want, after you really want to be healed and forget the blaming game, you have to live as a healed person. Live as a healed person. If you want to be healed, you must also determine to live as a healed person. You know, Jesus motivated the lamed man to stretch beyond himself. In verse 8, he says, "Get up! Pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. You know, Jesus frequently required a dedicated effort on the part of a person requiring hearing. Now, not always, but often. He required a response of faith before he would heal. He said to the 10 lepers, "Go and show yourself to the priest," and they have to went and show before they were healed. He said to the man with a withered hand, "Stretch out." Until the man willing to stretch out his hand, he was not healed. Jesus put clay on the eyes of a blind man and said, "Go, washed in the pool of Siloam." Only when he went to washed, he could see. And Jesus said to this man, "Pick up your mat and walk." This was not a test of faith in Jesus because the lame man didn't know who Jesus was. It was a test of his resolve, of his willingness to make an effort to help himself. Jesus asked the man to attempt the one thing that he hadn't done for 38 years. When the man willing to make the effort, he was healed at once. You know, at once. Notice the three characteristics about Jesus' healing. Jesus' healing was instantaneous. It was secondly complete. And it was undeniable. But in order for this man to be healed, he had to stretch beyond himself. If he wanted to get well, you must pay your deals. You must pay certain efforts. You know, many people will look back at their stretching experience as their finest experience. I'm sure this person, when look back at his healing, would consider the taking of this mat that he has never taken up before for 38 years, the finest moment in his life. What is your mat? What is the mat that you have to take up
Or what is the mat that you have to throw away in order to get well in your life? What are some of the things you have to give up? What are some of the things you have to strive for in order to get well in your life? Do you know? If you know, are you willing to forget the blaming game? Forget blaming other people. Forget blaming the environment. Forget blaming the television. Forget blaming the intellect. Forget blaming your friends. And just focus on yourself. Do you want to get well? You know, one man told about a friend who had been in a wheelchair for 15 years. But his doctor said that he could be walking today if he had made more efforts in therapy when he was younger. Apparently, he didn't walk enough to gain strength or to allow his legs to gain strength to walk. You know, contrast that with a guy called Tony Melendez, who played guitar with his toes, born with no arms. Tony shared with audience what Jesus meant to his life, skillfully played guitar with his toes. Can you imagine that tremendous amounts of efforts, frustration, yet determinations it took to develop that skill? Do you want to get well? How badly you want it? Do you also want it so intensely that you're willing to work long hours and endure pain? It might mean doing vigorous exercise, following discipline program, or spending more time in devotion, getting up early in the morning, denying a golf game, but attending a church function. It might mean that you quit wallowing your self-pity. It might mean that saying no to pleasure or terminating a tempting relationship or wrongful relationship. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Do you really want to get well? Let us pray. Our dear Father, we want to thank you for today. We want to thank you for who you are. Because you are a miraculous God, you are a healing God. There are times in our lives that we feel that you are very far away. It's not that you are far away from us, it's we run away from you. There are times that religion, Christianity, is just a routine in our lives. We come in, we leave, we pay our dues. But Lord, we feel emptiness in our lives. We want to get well. We want to have an abundant life. We want to feel excited about you. We want to feel the first love that we have missed for so long. Lord, be with us. Help us to get well. And help us to know how to get well. Help us to pay the efforts to get well. Help us to realize that you are always there and you are not silent. And you would heal us. But help us to take the mat away.